1 minute to go. We're on our way out of Burgas now on a neutralised, in inverted commas, police escort. We are smashing down a dual carriageway at 38 kilometres an hour. And we've got a gap to make up here to the next group. The whole race has been completely strung out by the blistering pace that this police car is setting. And I think once this parkour section is finished, everyone's just gonna basically probably stop, have a little sit down, have a little rest. It's quite an intense little workout, this. It's fun to kind of move through the group and see a load of people before the whole thing gets spread out and you don't see anyone again. So it's been a nice little opening section, but we're certainly looking forward to the police cars leaving us and we can set our own pace, which will be about 10 or 15 kilometers an hour slower. So we're a couple of hours in now, and so far we've had the brutally quick police escort out of the town, followed by basically a section of GB Douro. Beautiful farmland kind of going up through really scorched, kind of dry fields on little muddy tracks, and then some sections of quite gnarly, big rocky gravel going through all these little farms. And something completely different. It does not feel like being on a transcontinental, really. So they've really changed this up. This is the parkour, which means it's a mandatory bit of route that's been planned by the race organizers, so everybody's doing it, and you don't have an option to go around it. And it's great for me because I've just got used to riding on that kind of terrain in the last race, so I felt quite happy on it. But definitely nothing like past TCRs that I've done so far. And Adrian's behind me somewhere. I'm just sitting up a bit and waiting for him to arrive, but because it's just at the start here, people haven't really had time to spread out yet, so there's basically a line of 200 and whatever it is, 200-300 cyclists going through the countryside, and constantly surrounded by people coming past, having little chats to people. And I think that's more or less what it's going to be like until the first checkpoint, because it's so close. It's about less than 400 kilometers away, which in the context of the race is it's a really short distance. Well, Right, just came to a little kind of stone shelter by the side of the road, and everyone seemed to stop. It looks a bit like Checkpoint One. I'm just doing a little podcast here, actually. What are your thoughts so far, Adrian?
Having an absolutely fantastic time.
Yeah. We're having such a nice time, in fact, that we've seriously considered just scratching and having a touring holiday, haven't we?
Absolutely glorious, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
The pictures are lovely, the locals are waving, there's gangs of street children clapping as they go past.
It's like a kind of idyllic version of rural Eastern Europe.
It's quite undulating, feels a bit like Yorkshire.
Yeah, it's I'm going through like vineyards and stuff. It's really beautiful. So yeah, seriously considering just turning this into a 2-week holiday, which is going to be a strong temptation that we have to resist. Hey, ice cream. He's going to lead you astray, that fox.
Made me do it.
That's the guy with the fox mascot. Don't know if I mentioned earlier on, but the really lovely... Hiya, guys! That was just a horse and cart going past. Casual, the whole family and extended family in it. The lovely...
interactions aren't a waste of time.
Huh?
Cool local interaction should be factored in.
Yeah.
Every situation, take every possibility.
We've had a good couple of run-ins with the locals there, haven't we? I'm recording again. Just so you know. What were you referring to there?
Well, my bike is making a few strange noises, and luckily one of the local children took it upon himself to do a full-scale bike check.
I did. He was quite thorough, wasn't he? He gave you a full bike check. What was his diagnosis? Did he give you the okay?
Well, he's not making a noise after he wiggled around with a few bits and pieces. My tire pressure's okay now.
He's got the magic touch. He's the local bike whisperer.
And I said Logdaria to him.
Logdaria!
You like that?
Yeah, we've been learning some of the local lingo. It goes down really well, doesn't it? Logdaria is the most useful one. It means thank you.
That's a good one, Tom.
The only other one we know is Drazdi, which means hi, and Zdrave means hello. And I was just going to talk about the lovely girl in the hotel that made us our breakfast packages this morning. We said we were leaving the hotel really early in the morning, like 5:30, and she instantly demanded that we take away some little breakfast packs with us, because we would leave before we could actually have breakfast. So she made those up. We had some extremely dry cake and some extremely buttery cheese sandwiches.
Phenomenal service, though.
Incredible.
Front of house, how the reception tested the aero position on your bike before we set off.
She was very curious about our bike setups and my socks. And she was an absolute delight, wasn't she? Hopefully lots more excellent interactions with Bulgarians for the trip. We've just been taken on by two local lads, but they instantly saw our cycling prowess and backed down. I think we got in their heads there. They weren't up for it, were they? They were like, oh my God, isn't that pair from All Points North? They only just came second. We can't outrun them in a sprint.
Out of three.
They probably don't know that on the Bulgarian news feed, though, do they? Right, we're about 200 kilometers in. It's absolutely cooking. And we're struggling to actually get further than about 10-15k before we have to find some shade and stop and just kind of get our body temperatures down. So we found a lovely little cafe which is in the shade just next to this big road that we've been on, and basically it seems like everyone on the TCR is stopping here, and it's just completely full of bikes and kind of bedraggled, toasted looking riders downing bottles of water and Coke. So we're gonna just hole up here for a little bit and just chill out, refresh ourselves a bit, and you know, see if we can do a bit more riding in the heat, but kind of focus on getting some miles in when it gets a bit cooler later on. We've done 200k, so we're about 100k away from the a bit more than 100k away from the start of the big climb. Less. I thought the checkpoint was like 375 or something.
That's kind of a hot foot.
What's four? What's the one that's 415 then? We're some distance away from something.
Gross confusion due to heat stroke.
Yeah. Adrian's no good for much at the moment.
250, 260.
Oh. Oh, right. We're actually only about 50 kilometres away from the start of the massive climb that goes up to checkpoint one. Where's the checkpoint then? What? It's only like 200. Oh, it's 275.
Yeah.
I had 375 in my head. Yeah.
That would have been quite optimistic today.
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah. No, you're right. Cool. Okay. Well, we'll be smashing that climb later on then when it's cool. We are. Adrian's just. This doesn't really work in audio format, but Adrian's just showing me his legs, and they're like slick with water. There's like a film of sweat over them. That's I mean, it's quite alluring. They're very, very shiny. Anyway, we've got a couple of espressos, some cold drinks, and we're just going to have a quick look at you know, the social media and the tracker and stuff, check out what's going on. Been climbing up the first big climb of the day, and it is really seriously hot. It's got up to about 37, 38 earlier on, and I think it's got dropped down a little bit now, and there's nice bits of shade in the trees, and as we're getting higher it's getting a bit cooler. So that's good, but yeah, we're having to stop quite a lot of these little springs that fortunately are quite regular at the side of the road. Little mountain springs that come out of little taps, and you can really easily spot them because there's always a big group of TCR riders flocking around them. Adrian's just caught up. He's looking warm. He's got two full bottles though, so have a little rest here. Little rest for 35 seconds and then carry on. We're pretty close to the top of this one, and then it's kind of fairly rolling after that. We are about 150k in, 150k almost. That's good. I think Adrian's walking the rest. He's just wandered off up the hill. He's going for a wee, of course.
Hi, I'm Kareem, cap number 154. And I love the heat. Because I'm riding only in my beeps and feel super cool.
And it's a strong look. Can,
yeah, thank you. And I'm fueled by ice cream and water. I just have to be sure that I always have enough water, because otherwise I start panicking.
Yeah. Very sensible.
Thank you very much.
Cool, man.
See you soon. Thank
I'm Mathieu Lifschitz, cap number 109. All was fine during the three first hour, and after I have a bad experience with my tubeless and my valve broke in my hand, so I lose a lot of time. At the beginning I was disappointed, but after I said, well, it's only 1 hour, we're the first day, yeah. And I joined everybody who was with me before, so it's nice. It's very hot, but we expect that's very hot.
Always.
So we ride smooth and cool to reach CP1.
Exactly. Lots of nice stops to cool down.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Hi, my name is John Holden, cap number 259A. We're about 230 kilometres in day one, and it is scorching. The heat, it's not the distance necessarily, the heat is killing me. But we're going to keep on going just to climb up to the checkpoint one now. Probably take me till midnight, but don't worry about that. We'll see you on the other side, folks. Thank you.
Yeah, my name's Fuskit. I'm from Preston, Lancashire. I am cap 259B. I'm enjoying a really nice day out in the sun. Even the gravel sections on my 19mm track tyres pumped up to 120 PSI. My perineum. Good job it's plated with titanium because it's took a pounding.
Beautiful.
And now I'm just saving it. We're at a petrol station somewhere before the last climb up to Budsludze, and I'm saving a few fucks for the climb up there. Thank you.
Why not get a bit of you might need it. You might need the divine help for this next climb.
I sing to him and it really pisses him off when we're going up climb.
What have you got in store for this next one?
Bring me sunshine and Born Free. You know what I mean? I'll belt out a couple of verses of that.
That should do the job.
We did Bring Me Sunshine on Fleet Moss. It was pissing down with rain. He was kicking off. Well, he wasn't. He was quite enjoying it. I belted out some Bring Me Sunshine to cheer him up.
Yeah, try and get that rain.
You know what, last three kickers on it?
Yeah.
And then I started belting.
It's kind of ironic today, isn't it? Bring me sunshine.
Well, yeah, it'll go down well. Yeah. Get a bit of echo up there as well. I've got me home.
It's 7:30, day one. And we are on the approach to checkpoint one. Unusually for TCR, the first checkpoint of four is really, really close to the start. Usually you would usually you'd have about double the distance to get to the first checkpoint, but there's an absolutely incredible I think communist era, I might have that wrong, or Soviet monument, which I will tell you about when we get to it, because it's important. It's something, it's probably another anti-fascist thing, like the start point. Anyway, we're over 250k in, 256, and we are approaching the fairly substantial climb to get up to said monument. And the monument is, to just call it a monument is doing it a bit of a disservice, because it looks like a UFO, like mothership, has landed on the top of a mountain overlooking this town. We've just gone through the town. I have no idea what it's called. And we're kind of on the lead-in to the climb now. So we basically can just see a wall of mountain in front of us with this thing perched on top of it. And we know that Anna and Rory and James and everyone, all the organisers are up there with the stamps, ready to stamp our cards. All we have to do is a 25 maybe 30 kilometre climb up to like over 1,000 meters. But the good news is that we're doing it as the day is cooling down. The sun's getting quite low. There's big long shadows. We're in golden hour, everything looks beautiful. And it's a stunning setting to have as a backdrop to do this climb and get the first checkpoint ticked off. So I'm pretty excited about this. It's gonna feel good. And then after that, we're gonna press on for a bit, see how far we can get tonight before we get too tired or find somewhere good to call it a day. All right, I'm on the climb now up to checkpoint one. Me and Adrian have tactically gone our separate ways. Well, we're going the same way, but he's let me go off and do this climb at my own pace. He's gonna do it at his own pace. So we'll meet at the top at the checkpoint. And I was just going up thinking, man, I've only got one bottle of water left. I'm really thirsty, but I want to ration that water. It's quite a long climb. And then I just heard the sound of trickling, fresh, free-flowing water. And there was one of these brilliant mountain spring kind of taps just by the side of the road. Absolutely love this country. Any country that's got frequent free water supply is all right in my book. Perfect for the traveling cyclist, with an added little frisson of danger, the question mark over whether you can actually drink it or not. But that's what they're for, I think. They're just people to drink. Which I think is cool. It's a lovely touch. Compare that to somewhere like France, where I've frequently found myself completely out of water and having to like go into people's gardens and steal it from their hose pipes or ask people in their gardens for water. So, brilliant. So I started off taking this climb nice and easy because there wasn't much point doing anything else because I have to wait for Adrian at the top anyway because we need to get our cards stamped at the same time. But then I started going past people up the climb and started to go kind of faster and faster, and I've ended up getting a little bit carried away. I think I've gone probably a bit too hard, so I'm gonna back off now because I do not want to put myself in any kind of trouble, so I'm gonna have a little chill, try and recover on the climb. Oh, there was a really cool moment there where I've been struggling up the last part of this climb, and suddenly this huge monument that we're working towards loomed out from behind the trees, and I'm actually pretty close to it. I mean, it's really big, so I suppose it looks like you're closer than you are, but it was a good and timely boost to the old morale. I don't think I've been eating enough coming up here. I'm putting in quite a big effort, so I'm having to be quite careful here to just, well, I've tried to just get in as much food as possible just then, just to try and get me up to the top, because I'm feeling pretty ropey now, quite weak and a little bit woozy. But once that food kicks in, I should be okay. My feet are in agony. My hands really hurt. And that's about all I've got to say, really. It's now completely dark. I've got both my lights on. And just been through a kind of gravel section-ish, just like where the road disintegrated a bit. There seems to be a bit of a loop, so people are coming down off the top. Oh man, I can see it. It's right there. I'm really close. Sweet. I can see it. And I can see a string of red lights going up to it in the complete darkness. And then I can see this monument silhouetted against a light blue, fading to kind of peachy sky as the sun's gone down now, but there's still quite a lot of lightness left in the sky. So the huge monument is just silhouetted up about a couple of hundred feet, well, maybe 100 feet or less above me now. I can kind of see the rest of the way, which is amazing news. And I'm going to get up there and wait for Adrian and have a really, really nice time while I'm doing it. I'm going to have some biscuits and I don't know, hopefully they've got some water up there. So slight change of plan for checkpoint one, got up to the monument and it was all dramatic and eerie and spooky in the dark, but there wasn't a checkpoint there, so, and then there were just a lot of people kind of wandering around a bit, putting on layers and then coming back the other way, so I realised it was back about 3 or 4k back down the road, and worked out where it was and managed to find it. And then it is a VW camper van with some people sat outside it. It's probably the most minimal checkpoint I've seen. Is this what you're going to be like at TPR when you're the mobile checkpoint? Well, bigger and better equipped van, though.
More caravan looking.
Yeah, we've had our card stamped. We're relieved to be here. And now we've got downhill, basically, haven't we? Downhill into the town.
Downhill, haven't we?
Yeah.
See if there's any kebab shops open.
Try and find a kebab at the bottom.
Maybe a Black Sea fish shop later on.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get some food at the bottom and then kind of weigh up our options of carrying on or stopping or finding some kind of late night super cheap 24-hour hostel or sleeping in a bus stop. All options on the table at the moment.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.